We are in our 17th year about Megillas Esther, it's Shushan Purim, so that's a fortuitous time to talk about Megillas Esther. Rabbi Soloveitchik, that he famously said that Purim is really a two-day holiday. Purim is really 4 days a year if you have other Aleph, other Rishon. But it's really a two-day holiday. It just happens to be that the mitzvot we did yesterday, today we happen not to do any mitzvot here, but in Yerushalayim they are. Just like every other holiday, Rosh Hashanah is a, according to the Torah, one-day holiday, but the mitzvah of Shofar only applies during the day. Sukkah is a seven-day holiday, but the requirement to eat in the Sukkah is only the first night. Pesach is a seven-day holiday, but the requirement to eat Matzah is only the first night. So Purim is a two-day holiday, with the mitzvahs only applying yesterday, but today qualifies also, so I feel more justified. I don't really, but I've been talking about Purim all year round, so why not to continue today? But at least for today, there was a topic I was pushing off. We should do it now. When did it occur? When did this whole story happen? So, although I didn't give you this page, maybe you remember from the Megillah, that Haman, he does his lottery, he casts his lots on the 13th day of Nisan. On the 13th of Nisan, it tells us that. The Megillah tells us that. I don't have the page for you, unfortunately. I forgot I cut it off the next page. But that's when he does it. That we know. That's a date that's given in the Megillah. We also know that it's going to take place a year later. 11 months later. Right? But in Adar. Yud Gimel Adar. Fine. Those are the only two dates that are given. Now, Haman issues this decree, one decree, two decrees. We talked about this a lot. Mordechai, so what happens? Mordechai finds out. He tells Esther. She says fast 3 days. And then, if you look at the beginning of Perek Hey, which has no break in it in the actual Megillah, if you were following along in an actual Megillah, Vayihi Bayom HaShlishi, that's the third day, we've done this already, that's the third day, it says the third day, that's when Esther approaches Ahasuerus, and what happens, what's going on? She approaches Bayom HaShlishi from when? The third day since what? Additionally, so we're just trying to find what facts do we know, and then we're going to try to piece the timeline together. We know Haman sends a decree out on the Yud Gimel Nisan. We know that there's a 3-day count. She only approaches Ahasuerus on the third day. The party is that day. The first party, Yavo HaMelech VeHaman Hayom, which if you read the Megillah also, they say you're supposed to have in mind, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yavo HaMelech VeHaman Hayom, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hayom. So the day she approaches Ahasuerus, that's the day of the first party. And the next day is the day of the second party. So that we're good. And so we know the first date. We know there's 3 days of fasting. When those occur, I don't know. Vayom HaShlishi on the third day, which I would have assumed was the third day of fasting, but it doesn't say that. And then there are two parties. The party happens the day she approaches him. We also know there's a medrash in Vayikra Rabbah that says the following. That when, so we know, it's got to be over Pesach, the 13th of Nisan, you got to have Pesach somewhere, but we also know the following medrash. And the Gemara, and they take it quite seriously. So we know that that night that he can't sleep, Ahasuerus can't sleep in between the two parties, so he then ends up the next morning, Haman has to schlep Mordechai through the city of Shushan on a horse and say, Kachayas Ala'ish, and he's dressed like the king. So the Medrash says, well, the Megillah doesn't have this. Haman has to go find Mordechai and say, okay, this is what's going to happen right now. Right? We're going to put you on the horse, and it probably takes a little bit of convincing, like he didn't believe him. And so the Medrash says he shows up in the base Medrash because Mordechai is teaching his Talmidim, and what are they learning? Kmitza, the Korban HaOmer. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The Korban HaOmer, like we count Sfiras HaOmer, from the day of the Korban HaOmer, is on the 16th day of Nisan, the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. That's when so the question is, do you take this seriously or not? Most of the Rishonim seem to take Achronim also. They assume that's a fact. Now you could say no, but let's assume that that's true. Let's assume that so Haman parades Mordechai through the city on the 16th of Nisan, right? Because if he was learning about the Korban HaOmer, so then it must have been, and he says, it's today, the Medrash then goes on, so Haman approaches Mordechai and he says, look, Haman realizes already this whole plan is flipping on its head. He says, this Omer must have something to do with it, if it's today and you're learning about it. So he says, what is it? It's barley. He's surprised that it's barley. Why would it be a carbon of barley? We'll talk about the symbolism after. Let's pause the symbolism. Fine, let's go back. The 16th of Nisan, he schleps him through the city. That, we know, that immediately he comes home from carrying him through the city. He comes home. Zeres tells him, oh, you mean Zeres Yehudim? He gets schlepped to the second party, and then he gets killed that day. So that's on the 16th of Nisan. So the first party must have been on the 15th of Nisan, right? The first day of Pesach, right? Ahasuerus couldn't sleep on Moshe Pesach. He was worried he had to say it. No, okay. But it wasn't the Seder, it was the day after. So when, now we have a problem, because if you want to say that Haman wrote the letters, he sent the decree on the 13th of Nisan, right? So when did Esther fast? Sumo alive, al tochlu, al tisu, slosis, yamim, laila, v'yom. So when did they start fasting? Did they start fasting on the 13th, or did they start fasting on the next day? And some Al-Gabet, some Anas Halevi writes, it's not reasonable to think. So some of the reason they want to say, no, they fasted, think about it, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, right, 3 days, and then, Vayhi Bayom HaShlishi, on the third day, on the 15th, that's when Esther invites Ahasuerus to the first party. Just one moment, right? So again, they fast, they would have to fast 13, 14, 15. On the 15th, by Yom HaShlishi, that's the time we're given, Esther invites Ahasuerus to the party. Now the first party in the 15th, the second party in the 16th. So that works, other than you have to assume they started fasting the day he wrote the letters. Yeah, that's his problem. It is. Correct. How did they pass? How did they pass? So they quote them, Gemara quotes, actually. Yeah, oh, who said Chometz?
So,
right. The person. The person, they served rice. I want this question. Yeah, no. No. We pretend that you guys didn't start existing till later. I mean, if you look at the last pasuk of Perek Dalid, right? This is after Esther tells Mordechai, like, do this plan. It says, Vayavar Mordechai, Vayaskechosh Yertzev Tzalav Esther. Mordechai does what she says. The Gemara says, Vayavar Mordechai, he did like an Aveira, meaning they fasted on Pesach. They fasted on Pesach. The Gemara says, from Vayavar Mordechai, from that post. So we know from the beforehand. we know from the previous parak, but that's when it happens. The date's given earlier.
I've had a night only during the day.
So the question is, did they fast during the day and the night, or just during the day? It says closest to me, Laila Vayom. It sounds like they fasted 3 days straight. This is a lot. The challenge, though, is, so first of all, if you're starting on the 13th, you missed the night before, because Haman only did the lottery in the morning of the 13th, presumably, it says the 13th. And then, it's just very hard to believe. It's hard to, he did the lottery, right? He got the message out. Mordechai finds out about it. He's got this whole, remember, he doesn't talk to Esther. He's sending a message back through Hatach, back and forth. You can imagine it's taking a while, right? And then Esther comes up with this plan. And then she says, Lech Kenosis Kol Yehudim. Gather everyone together. You're going to gather everyone, what, in the next 10 minutes? I know we changed the clock. The day seemed long yesterday, but like, come on. So Rosalma Al-Gabet says, no, that's not possible. It's not possible. They everything happened on the 13th, and she said fast for 3 days. 13th, so fast on the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. So here's the problem, okay? So Haman sets the lots on the 13th. 14th, 15th, 16th are the 3 days of fasting.
Is there a measure that Mordechai was so weak from fasting that he couldn't get up on the horse?
Yeah, there's a measure he was so weak from fasting.
He was fasting on the 16th.
Okay, but you know what? Even if you're fasting the next day, sometimes you're still weak a little bit. Okay, I could have bought that also. But he has several textual problems. Vayi bayom hashlishi. Esther goes to Haman for the first party on the third day. Pasuk shot the third day of the fast. That's the 16th. If you want to hold like the Medrash with the whole Kmitza thing, that's not going to work. She had to come on the previous day. So he says, look, you don't have a choice. It was the third day to the sending of the letters. 13, 14, 15, not the third day of the fast. It was the second day of the fast, third day sending the letters. He says, it's weak, but you don't have a choice. If you accept the Medrash, that the second party was on the 16th, and you assume that they couldn't start fasting the day on the 13th, because that doesn't make sense, you're stuck. He says you're stuck with that. He admits it's weak, but you're stuck with that. But he has proof. He has beautiful proof for this. Presumably during the day. Yavo HaMelech VeHaman HaYom. Did Esther eat at the party? Because Esther is very clear. Gam ani v'na'arotai asum kein. We will also fast. Me and my maidservants. She's fasting. Did she eat at the parties? If she's fasting, you can't eat. Rav Shlomo Alkabet says she did not eat at the first one, but she did at the second one. And watch this. It's amazing. Take a look. He says, I'm trying to find the pasuk for you. One moment. Where is it? I'm looking for it. Must have been rice. I don't know what they ate. Why not? They ate rice. We can't have yontif without rice. Any yontif without it doesn't work. It's just not conceivable. It's not possible. I know, but like, it's a cultural thing. You know, it's like, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. He says, if you look, fine. If you look in Perikei Pasukei, right, the first party, right, Perikei Pasukei, Vayomer HaMelech, this is where she invites Haman and Mordechai to the first party. Vayomer HaMelech, Maruat Haman Latosus Virus there, hurry Haman to do what Esther said. Vayavo HaMelech VeHaman, Ela Mishtash, there, Asai, there. To the party that Esther made. Fine. Nothing exciting. But if you look at the second party, Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Same, right? Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Vayavo HaMelech VeHaman. Right? Almost to the word. Elam Mishtos Im Esther HaMalka. To drink with Esther. He says that the second party, they're drinking with her. The first party, it doesn't say she's drinking. Clever. 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 Okay. So it sounds like she didn't drink at the first party. She didn't drink at the first party, but she drank at the second party. And I asked a moment ago, the party seems to be during the day. But wait a minute. If it's a 3-day fast, 14, 15, 16, so then you're still fasting. So she violated only the end of the tightness. She didn't violate the beginning. He says he has another line. Yeah, I don't know. Why? Because he walked them in the afternoon. In the morning, 10 o'clock, and that party was at 2. I know, I had a suda yesterday at 4. It was plenty of time to get. If I had enough time on Purim to do all the mitzvot sayom beforehand, they figured it out also. You could have a suda at like 4 or 5 o'clock.
The whole point of the speech is about that moment at the end of the second party, so then at the end, she accomplishes it.
Yes, so that's what he says. He says like this, but he finds proof for it. Yes, it says Vayom. So take a look in in Perek Dalid Pasuk Tezayin. Perek Dalid Pasuk Tezayin. This is where Esther is telling Mordechai what to do, right? Leich Gnosis Kol Yehudim, gather everybody together. Hanimtzim B'Shushan, right? You're not going to get anybody else. Not going to work. V'tzim Olai V'altochlu V'altishu Shlosu Semim Laila Vayom. Right, 3 days, night and day. Gam ani v'na'aretai asum kein. We'll also fast. So the Rav Shlomo Alkabet uses a bit of gematria. He says, how many hours in 3 days? 72 hours. Gam ani v'na'aretai asum, it should have said. Me and my maidservants will fast. What's asum kein? We'll fast for kein. 20 plus 50, 70 hours. Because that's how a tinus works. A voluntary tightness only works for what you accept it, right? You have to be mekabel tightness. So she says, no, you guys fast 72, I'm only going to mekabel 70 so that I can have the party in the last 2 hours of the day on the 16th.
But then the next word says,
became. Uvechein avo meaning, uvechein there, uvechein, you lose, you have six more. Then you're done. That's 78 already.
With the 70,
okay. No, but that's not going to work, because she means Ubechein Aval HaMelech, she means on the day before. Meaning, the Manos HaLevi said, no, it's not the third day for the fast, It's the third day to the letters. Meaning, according to the Manos HaLevi, the calendar works like this. On the 13th, Haman issues the decree. Talks to Achashverosh. He does the lottery, talks to Achashverosh, issues the decree, gets these things printed and proclaimed throughout Shushan. Mordechai sees it, comes, has this whole conversation with Esther through Hatach. She comes up with the plan, Lech Kenosis Kol Yehudim. They say, fine. It's still daytime, because it's the 13th. Now they're going to fast the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. The letters were sent on the 13th. So 13th, 14th, 15th. On the 15th, everyone's still fasting. She invites Achashverosh to the first party. She does not eat at that party. That night, between the 15th and the 16th, Achashverosh can't sleep. The next morning, Haman parades Mordechai through the city. And later that afternoon, the last 2 hours of the day, they have the second party and he gets killed. That's how the Manos HaLevi tries to do the calendar. Now,
Achashverosh didn't know that his wife indeed.
Yeah, he says he must have pulled, I don't know. He addresses the point. He addresses the point, like maybe she was serving, maybe she was like, it was her party, like an intimate party, so like she didn't want to have like waiters there or something. You have to come up, he wasn't drinking, I don't know. Yeah, I have a headache, I don't know, she came up with some excuse. Yeah, why do the maid servants have to fast? Good question. Yeah, I don't know. I'm presuming they're not Jewish either. Like, yeah, okay. No idea. Maybe that, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
Maybe it was a woman's thing.
Yeah. So, there are others who disagree. I find that the most compelling read. I think the weakest point, I mean, there are two weak, there are several weak points there, which, one of which he admits already, Vayiba Yom HaShlishi, is not the third day after the fast. It's the third day of after the letters were sent, which at least it counts. But at least it makes sense. They didn't start fasting. Like, even if someone started fasting like 5 minutes before Ski on the 13th, you can tell me that's cold the whole day. It's just that doesn't work. It doesn't work. You do have to then to say also, you have to kvetch that Vayom HaShlishi is the third day from the letters, and that Esther didn't eat at the first party. And that at the second party she ate because it was already the end of the day. You have to come up with something. No matter what you do, you're stuck. Laila Vayom, yeah, it says night and day, 24-hour fast. So that's clear. That's on the books. Right, it has to, but we know even if, you know, Shloshes Yomim, Laila Vayom, 3 days, night and day. So, okay. If I had to, I could fudge. I could read into that if I had to. But you're stuck. I mean, no matter how you're going to read this, whether you have the fasting starting on the 13th, then you're stuck with just a practical problem. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. So you want to have the fasting starting the next day, which means that Esther, meaning Miman of Shach, Esther couldn't eat at one of the parties. Even if you say she fasted the 13th, 14th, and the 15th, then the 15th, she still couldn't eat at the party. Unless you then say, well, the V'chein thing, and then the 2 hours, you have to come up with both of them.
Yeah. The first day was Laila, because it says Laila V'yom.
Okay, so it has to be the Lel Arvasar, right? Lel B'dikas Chametz.
So she counted the
Lilo
as a whole thing, maybe.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
No, it says they were teaching Kmitza because it was Mamish Zecher LaMikdash. It was being done Zecher LaMikdash. It's in Yonah Diyoma. He was like, what are you learning? He says, in Yonah Diyoma. What's in Yonah Diyoma? He had no idea. And then he goes through the whole thing. So what do you... Yeah. No.
Because if anybody's fasting, and say she drinks wine.
Yeah. Yeah. All yeshiva guys will tell you, yes, the Purim Chagiga is, on Lel Purim, is always a little bit more exciting because of the previous fast. Correct. Correct, yeah. No. Yeah, it'll go right to your head. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. If she faked it. I mean, if she took more, I don't know.
Not me. I'll
I don't know.
Break my fast with a glass of wine.
Yeah, my father will break the fast with some arak, okay?
Uh-huh, okay.
Whatever. Not for me, no, it's the other father-in-law. Okay, he's on the other side, in Morocco. Fine. So that's in terms of the date. I think Rav Shlomo Algametz presents the most plausible explanation of the dates, that it's the 13th, he sent the messages, he sent the letters in the 14th, 15th, 16th, they fasted. So why is it so important? We're sort of up to that point in the story. After Haman parades Mordechai throughout the city, the Medrash there fills in, they were learning about Kemitza of the Korban HaOmer. So the Maharal in the Or Chadash, I think also elsewhere, I think also in the in the Perushan Avos, also in the Perushan Torah, in the Gerari, he finds a lot of significance in this. It's not random that it was the 16th, it's not random that it was the Korban HaOmer. Haman there asks him, well, why barley? He's upset. He thought, like, you know, there's some, like, great mitzvah that overcame his decree. Barley is considered to be, like, very physical. Back in the day, in the Tanakh, right, uses barley as animal food. It represents physicality. More refined is wheat flour. Why barley? Barley, like, represents something so base. And so he asks himself, okay, fine. How many tons of barley did you have to bring? And he says, Nisaron, and from the Nisaron you take a komets. He's teaching them how to do kamitza. You take a komets, just like a little, less than a handful of barley. And Haman responds, your one komets defeated my 10,000 kikar that I tried to buy you off with. Maharal gives a lot of significance to this. He says, the Korban HaOmer is the rachis. It's the beginning. It's the first of the barley. You're not allowed to, the Isser Chadash is on the books. You're not allowed to eat any grain, whether wheat or barley, that grew that year until after the Korban HaOmer is brought, until the second day of Pesach. That's called Isser Chadash. That's what Kemach Yoshan is. Kemach Yoshan is from the year before. You're not allowed to. So why does it have to be the first? Well, it's the first you have to give to God. Meaning the first, you give the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and only after you recognize that it really all belongs to him, can I partake of it. But he says, but why barley? Because barley is the physical world. Barley represents the physical world. Sometimes we like to think, you know, the spiritual things, they belong to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the physical world, that's a little bit separate. So he says, no, Korban HaOmer represents the physical world. Even in the physical world, we take that which is represents the most physical, and we take a little bit of that, and we give it to Kadosh Baruch Hu also. He says that's why it's so appropriate for the Nes of Purim. Because you think the Nes of Purim is a miracle that happens in the world. It's a hidden miracle. It's a miracle in nature. It's not a miracle above nature. It's not Me'alas Heva. It's not Kriyas Yamsuf. It's not something changing the rules of nature. It's working within nature, which is what barley represents. That's what the Korban HaOmer represents. It represents God working within nature, which is exactly what's going on in the story. And he thinks it's therefore appropriate that the morning where everything shifts, they're learning about Kemitz and the Korban HaOmer, and it all fits in really, 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 really nicely together. This is Maharal. Maharal has a sefer on Megillat Esther called the Or Chadash. Ten pesos. So I'll give. Oh, okay. So we'll go for a few more minutes then, if that's okay. Okay. Good. So getting back to the rest of the story. All right, well, I'll leave you on a cliffhanger, maybe. So if you go back to Perek Zion, that's where we were at last week. Perek Zion is the beginning of the second party, if I'm not mistaken. Vayavah HaMelech v'Haman lishtos im Esther Amalka, right? We saw Manos HaLevi says im Esther, and now she's drinking also. Vayavah HaMelech v'Esther gam bayom ha'snim b'shtei ayayin. We can go about gam another time also. Ma'ashtei l'teich Esther ma'gama v'tzinatin lach. U'ma'avakash ha'seich od al chatzi ha'mochus v'tzeh. What do you want? You pushed me off already. You told me yesterday, come back today. I'm here today. Nunu, what's going on? Vatan Esther Vatomar, imastatichin beinei amelech, vimel amelech tov, tinosin li nafshi b'sheilosi v'ami v'bakashosi. This is serious. This is not just a favor, a husband-to-wife favor, but I'm asking on behalf of my life and the life of my people. Kinim karenu l'ani v'ami l'ashmid l'arogu l'abed. She says, look, we were sold to be killed. And if we were only sold as slaves, I wouldn't have said nothing. Because it's not worth it to you. So what does that mean? Who cares? Meaning, if we were sold as a slave, I would never have come to ask you this favor. But since you're trying to kill us, so now I need your help. Okay. Because I need your help. What's the difference? If I was sold as a slave, I wouldn't... You're right, but so what? Why is that relevant? Why is that a relevant factor? So I think if you buy some of the previous arguments from a month ago, maybe, that we tried to make, it makes sense. Manos Salevi says this, I think, also, the Yosef Lekach. When Haman tries to convince Ahasuerus to kill the people, to kill the Jewish people, he doesn't say the word Lahashmid Laharog. He just says La'abed. La'abed means to destroy, but La'abed also means to lose. La'aved is vague. When you say la'aved by itself, now we know he means to kill. But given that in the rest of the Megillah, it never says la'aved by itself. It says la'aved with something else. La'ashmid la'arogu la'aved, or lehumamu la'abedam. Nuhumam at least later. But here's Lahashmid, when it doesn't say Lahashmid Laharogu Laabed, he just says Laabed, it's a little bit vague. And then Haman offers him money. Right? Haman, now, Ahasuerus doesn't take the money. But Haman offers him money. It's a little bit vague what's going on. So Esther's playing off that. Remember, she remembers the whole story. Mordechai told her about Parashat HaKesef. Esther's goal now, remember, is that she realizes that Haman's on the downfall, but she's trying to sow discord between Haman and Ahasuerus. Her whole goal now is to show that Haman is being disloyal. Right? Originally, the original plan was to show that she and Haman are having an affair, and therefore she's being disloyal. He's being disloyal. And then after, this was last week, that everything shifts, she changed the plan. She sees that that's not necessary anymore. She just needs to keep pushing the fact that Haman's disloyal, and Ahasuerus will buy it one more time. She says, look, Haman told you about buying off a nation and selling them. And she says, if that would have happened, that would have been okay with me. She doesn't care that it's okay with me. What she's saying is, he swindled you. He told you something vague. If he would have done what the king asked for, I would have nothing to say because I respect the king. She would have come with him the same question. But I would have, you know, she's not respecting you. There's a person who's swindling you. Haman is trying to kill us. She doesn't say Haman yet, right? But there's someone who tried to buy off a nation, tried as slaves, and that's what he convinced you to do. And instead he's trying to kill us instead, which is not what you ordered. It's not what you allowed. It's not what you agreed to. And if it's not what you allowed, not what you agreed to, so then something here is wrong and we need to stop it because now the person who you were trusting isn't trustworthy anymore. It goes to that same point, and that's now Ahasuerus gets really upset. What do you mean? He vaguely recalls this idea of these people who I don't know who they are. Who is it? Amibibak? Who are your people? This is why the Manas Halevi thinks he knows he's Jewish, but we'll talk about that next week. Right? Presumably he doesn't know that they were the Jewish people. He doesn't know that Esther is Jewish. He has no idea. He knows Haman asked about something about buying, selling, money, something. But that's not what I said. And now he gets even more upset. Because now he issued a decree, and the decree is now working against him, that whoever was implementing the decree isn't actually following what he said. So Bezos Hashem will continue next week. I'll give you guys 3 minutes before Belovsky will be here.